This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
The AutoFlex Leasing fan text has been lit up with people complimenting Jane Slater for her question to Jason Garrett during the press conference. Coming up in 15 minutes, we got Michael Irvin joining us on the show. But right now, we have Jane Slater joining us from the NFL Network. Jane, how's it going today?
Going well. How are you?
Great to talk to you. I'm doing great. You asked a question to Jason Garrett that has lit Twitter and our fan text on fire. And I just want to play it back for you real quick so you can kind of get an idea of what was said, okay?
Sure.
Do you consider yourself a good game manager?
Again, that's something we strive to, as players and coaches, and certainly in my role, absolutely. You always try to learn from your experiences and do it really at a high level. Have we been perfect every time? No. Are we constantly trying to get better at it? Absolutely.
Two things. One, I don't think you really ever answered that question. But two, why did you ask that question?
You know, a lot of us were talking about the fact that I respect. A few weeks ago, Jalen Smith said, you know, these aren't day of mistakes. These are day of mistakes. In other words, the coaching staff is getting us prepared to play. We're not executing. You had Dak Prescott on an MVP-worthy night saying he essentially needs to do more. And then we had Jason Garrett up there on Monday, who I am normally a big Jason Garrett supporter and still am, to be completely honest with you, up on the podium on Monday, you know, essentially saying that Tavon Austin had this option in this Bearcats situation. Look, that play in particular may or may not have changed the game. Most likely it wouldn't have. But the fact that he went up there and essentially name-checked a player in that situation at 9 o'clock in the morning, to me was troublesome because Tavon Austin is so beloved in that locker room, both on the offense and defensive side of the ball. And instead of name-checking guys like Ezekiel Elliott, who could have been more efficient on second and third down, you know, you're sort of at this sacrificial lamb of sorts. And, you know, then my thought was, and I always try to be fair with this, you know, Jason Garrett, of course, it's a long night. You're dealing with a lot of questions. You have meetings the next day. You know, when you wake up in the morning and you're asked all these questions, you know, maybe you didn't have all the information or maybe you haven't just processed all the swing moments in the game. But then at 4 o'clock, the press conference, the reporters, he still didn't really give us the sense that he was taking any accountability for that play and how that situation went. And it was just simply we miscommunicated with Austin. And I started doing some digging, and I confirmed what Jesse Hawley said, that Keith O'Quinn absolutely told Tavon Austin in that situation, fair catch this. And I was told on the sidelines, people were visibly shocked and concerned that that's what they asked him to do. So there were people on the sidelines that knew that that was the situation. So how does Jason Garrett not know that? You know, if he's the in-game manager, how do you not know that? And so I always hate when reporters, and all of us were talking about it this week, right? And it's a small piece of, you know, a lot of questions that we had about that game. But I always hate when reporters are pontificating about these things and they never go straight to the source and say, all right, what happened? And so what you didn't see is when we walked away from the podium, you know, not only did he take accountability up there, which I respect, he said that was on him, but then I asked him to walk me through his day on Monday and how we came to that conclusion that it was, in fact, the coaching staff. And he said he first talked to Keith O'Quinn, and then he said, you know, I asked him, I said, did you talk to Tavon Austin? He said he absolutely did. And then I was just honest with him. I said, you know, look, the thing that you've always been able to hang your hat on is the fact that you've had this locker room. The guys stand up and they bang their fists on the table for you. When you are name-checking a player for something that happened in a game and it wasn't necessarily his fault, are you at all concerned about the message that sends? And so, you know, he said that he talked to Tavon Austin. He couldn't tell me if it was before or after the press conference, but he said that he did talk to him. And I said, you know, you could have just said at the press conference, if you had, in fact, talked to him before, and again, I'll give him the benefit of the doubt. It's a long day. You have a lot of meetings. You could have just gone up on the podium and said, look, this is on me. You know, we've all got to do a better job. I take, you know, personal, you know, responsibility for this. You know, as the game manager, as the head coach, like, the buck stops with me, and he didn't do it. And he admitted that maybe he didn't clarify that as well, that he didn't pay attention really to sort of what the outside noise is or that this was even a narrative out there. But I will tell you that It is a narrative. I mean, these guys love this kid. And so, you know, whether people agree or disagree with the line of questioning, I try to do it as respectfully as possible. But I also wanted to give Jason Garrett a chance to address what we've been talking about this week. Is Jason Garrett as accountable in that loss as perhaps a lot of other people were? And, you know, look, I take his answer at face value. He said he was accountable. You know, he also pointed out the fact that, you know, 37-10 against the Eagles, there are about 15 miscommunication errors and no one's going to talk about it. And if they had won the game, we wouldn't be talking about these things either. But, you know, he also said, of course, we've got to be accountable. You know, the better you are, the fewer the top ends, they've got to keep refining it. So, look, we'll put it to bed. But I felt like it was important to ask the question that we'd all been talking about. And if you're going to talk about that situation, why not go to the source themselves? But look, the locker room loves this guy. I've continued to argue. The fans may not be a huge fan of Jason Garrett because they see the robotic guy, whatever, but they've always stood on the table for him. I was just curious if this was going to be a turning point for this team, that if they've always gone to bat for their coach, do they have a coach that's going to go to bat for them? And so it sounds like he realized that he didn't clearly communicate that enough, and he made amends for that. And so I think we can put this to bed and start focusing on Detroit.
In terms of when he was still on the podium for your follow-up questions, other people's follow-up questions, did it feel like a change in his demeanor or a change in the room at all? Because it seemed like the pace picked up, or, you know, not in a negative way, but the aggressiveness picked up a little bit as well.
I mean, when there's blood in the water, of course, you know, everyone's going to jump in. And, you know, again, credit to Jason Garrett. You know, the one thing that people don't realize, you know, the other team I cover, and I can always, you know, put this in perspective, is I cover the Saints and Sean Payton. And he does a 10 o'clock phoner with the reporters during the week. He's not up on the podium every single day before practice. So he does this phoner where you phone in and then he's outside at practice, talk to reporters on Fridays. But, you know, what I'll always say about Jason Garrett is you may not always get the answers that you want, but he's going to answer your questions. And he doesn't have to take the time off the podium to answer those questions in the walk-off. He does that. I respect Jason Garrett as a coach. And I respect him, like I said, because of what I hear from the players and the way that he carries himself. And so, you know, I don't want people to look at that as being contentious. It wasn't. That's not how it felt like. And I explained to Jason Garrett in the walk-off why I thought it was important for me to ask those questions, and that I appreciated him answering those, because there are coaches in this league that would literally tell you to go F yourself. It would be a press conference ender, and that would be the end of it. But he did seem like he was legitimately contrite and actually shocked that we all read it any differently than someone that was taking accountability on Monday. But I felt like that message was a little lost, and I wanted clarification on it.
Well, I don't know if you've had the chance to jump onto social media, but it kind of feels like that scene in Love Actually where Hugh Grant finally stands up for the country of England and everyone's excited. We feel like you're our Hugh Grant in this scenario, and we're all here to celebrate you.
I certainly don't want that. Calm down, fan. It was not contentious. It was not me, like, trying to take Coach Red down by any means. It just drives me nuts sometimes that, you know, people go out there and they write all these stories, and I see the national guys, you know, Skip Bayless and, you know, Stephen A. Smith. They fire these shots from afar, but they're never going to ask it to the person's face. And if you're talking about me, and especially in a year that, you know, jobs are important. I don't want to be divisive in a locker room and create drama and turn players against coach, or, you know, create a situation where Jerry and Steven are listening, and kind of like the Scott Linehan thing where it was, you know, the players have now turned on him. Scott Linehan never took accountability ever while he was here. And that was frustrating, you know, to the players, and the players got frustrated by that. But I respected the fact that Jason answered those questions, and I respect the fact that he continued to answer my questions in the walk-off. And I think as the media, we've got to be careful not to blow these stories up into something that they're not. It didn't seem like there was too much smoke there. I'm going to take him, like I said, at face value, just based on being there, asking him those questions. And, you know, I just hope that Cowboys Nation doesn't, like, blow this up into something that it's not. It was merely me asking the question that we were all thinking on Monday, where's your accountability coach? And he answered it. And I have certainly had days where I haven't stuck the landing, and that's how I felt like it was for him on Monday.
You do know how Cowboys Nation works, right? When you said that maybe they won't blow this up, you do know how that's actually going to work, right?
Yeah. Hey, Jane, I have a one other thing. This is kind of like off topic of what we're discussing, but I it's something that's near and dear to me, and I wanted to ask you about what we can do to help. You work with Helmets for Helmets, and I know you know the story of my daughter Lucy. She has epileptic seizures at night. She doesn't need a helmet, but I never know if there will be a moment or a time where she will. And I love what you do. I see that you're partnered with Last Stand Co. What are you doing there? What can you send out to the Tolos that might want to help support this?
I love your heart, and thank you for giving them a shout-out. So, yeah, so if people aren't familiar with the Bryson story, Bryson Thompson was a little boy I met at Cowboys training camp last year, and he was wearing a Saints helmet on his head. And, you know, a lot of us out there, we insert our foot in our mouth from time to time, and this was one of those moments. I walked over to him, and I said, first of all, he's the most precious kid I've ever seen, but I said, man, you are brave wearing a Saints helmet here at practice. And his mom, Sarah, sort of delicately said to me, he has to, he has seizures, and his are intense. Like, they're drop-down seizures, they're colonic. He can have as many as 100 seizures a day. And he actually went to a Saints training camp once and collapsed because he got so excited. And so he has to wear this protective helmet on his head, but you would think this 8-year-old, he's now 9, would be focused on that, but he's not. He and his brother, Brock, who's just 2 years older, started a foundation called Helmets for Helmets. And they were at camp getting signatures from Dak and Zeke, and they sold one of those helmets for $1,500 to go buy another child that has seizures and who's a massive Cowboys fan, a protective helmet for himself. And so the kids just feel a little bit cooler at school. They feel like they're actually, you know, part of the football team. And I just love their sweet little bleeding hearts. I got such an amazing reaction when that story aired last Thanksgiving. And so Last Stand hats, who I always wear their like sweet lids. It's a Texas guy who typically did it for the baseball team, and they've got DBU and all sorts of cool swag. Asked me if I was interested in creating a hat and donating a portion of those proceeds to my favorite charity. And so, of course, I said helmets. And I said, can we design it with a helmet and with sort of the mantra, which is fight. And so it's always fight like Bryson. And so we've got an awesome, cool orange, burnt orange logo with a helmet that says fight across the hat. And it's only $25. And a portion of that proceeds goes back to Helmets for Helmets. And already such an amazing response. So I love the bleeding hearts of fans. And I actually talked to my little boys last night. They are doing well. He spent a lot of time this summer getting tested on, hoping that they can figure out a way to address these seizures, and that hasn't quite happened for him yet. But I'm all for, you know, helping that family out and helping out kids like him. So you can go to laststandhats.com and check out one of those sweet lids. In fact, the owner came back to me and said, if anyone purchases any lids from there, again, they're $25. They've got everything from Texas football to sort of a Texas swag to it, just in general, the state of Texas. They've also got an awesome golf hat, which I love. It says party, that you can get on there, and all of those proceeds will go to help Helmets for Helmets. So thanks for letting me plug it. And that was a little long-winded, but I get really passionate when I talk about the comic again.
Yeah, me too. I appreciate everything you're doing there, Jane. Thank you very much.
You guys are the best, and congrats on the show. Good luck in that 10-2 slot. It's Dudley.
Yeah. All right, Jane, bye. Have a good one.
Oh, man.
I love you.
Love you, Jane. All right, man. She's awesome, dude. She's
at Slater NFL, one of our biggest Tolos right there well.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.